there is an unfelt need out there. They have a need, but they don't feel it. They don't realize it's there. But when you start touching that, they realize there is a need. And if we're just open to that, I mean, everywhere I go, there is such a need for someone to say, take the time, show me something that is true, something, show me something that I can depend on. And we all have our testimonies as we're growing disciples.
Welcome back to the Right This Way podcast. I'm your host, Tim Bennett, and today we are concluding our conversation with Papa John Mitchum. This was such a great conversation and a great example for us on what God can do through a life that is surrendered to the calling on all of our lives to go into the world and make disciples. Stick with us all the way to the end as you won't want to miss a moment of this conversation. And if this is your first time with us, please don't forget to like and follow this podcast and go back and listen through all of our other amazing conversations. But for now, let's dive right back into the conversation right this way.
Right, because we often use the verse 2 Timothy 2:2 for an example of disciple making. Take the things that you've heard and you've seen in me and teach them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So it's that cycle of I taught you things. Now I want you to go find people to teach those things to who will be able to find other people to teach those things to as well. Right,
exactly.
But in order for that cycle to continue, not only do I need to be willing to find someone to teach, to be a Paul to, as far as a Timothy goes in that relationship.
Right.
But as Timothy, I need to find Paul or Paul's in my life and be able to listen to them and be humble, like you said, and that will grow my relationship.
Exactly.
Some of those best people for us that are in ministry are our significant others, our wives. Right.
Oh, absolutely.
So are those best people who will help us see us maybe a little bit more accurately. Right.
Right.
Help motivate, encourage, but also, you know, call things out when they see things that we, you know, need to take a check at.
Exactly.
Have you and your wife have been together for a long time,
50 years,
right?
Yes.
You've had many of those. I'm sure you've had those conversations, those fun times. I remember when we were thinking about this podcast, there was a story that you shared in a communications meeting about your first sermon that was supposed to be 30 minutes and took
seven minutes
and you were done. And you looked and you said, I don't got anything else.
That's right.
And then you went on with that story and said, but the next time I got up and spoke, for me, I would need that. Somebody would have to really be an encourager in the background for me to get up that second time.
Exactly.
Because I would be discouraged. I would be not confident at all if I got up and I've had times when I've been in humiliating situations on a stage things have not gone right and things have not worked out to plan. Right.
Yeah.
And, so was there someone else?
Well, let me tell you the one about my wife.
Yeah.
My wife knew scripture and I'm learning scripture in college. Right.
Yeah.
And I remember one time I got so aggravated at her because I'm reading the Old Testament, New Testament, and she's trying to teach me. And I think one of the hardest things for a man who marries a woman who has more Bible knowledge than him and he's trying to learn is the arguments that can happen.
And
I remember one time being so angry that I took a Bible and tore it in two. And I see here, you take this testament, I'll take this testament. I mean, it was a horrendous thing to think, but yet she encouraged me. But I think the key thing is that she had a deep, deep belief that the Bible is true and can be trusted and is the word of God. And I think that's the first thing that a disciple maker and a disciple needs to know and establish that early. Look, this is not suggestions. This is God's word. And if you follow God's word and find those promises where where the scripture talks about that. I mean, when you talk about like the Psalm 1, blessed is the man who is not, you know.
I love that
but
Psalm.
But his desire is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by streams of water, mm-hmm. which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, you know. And so those kind of things, and I believe that to be a disciple maker and to be a disciple, the first thing, of course, is you need to know who you're learning about, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But the only way to learn about him is through the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And so that was the key. My wife believed in the Word of God, understood the Word of God far more than I did. And then as I gradually began to understand that and saw how it all worked together, that's when I felt the confidence to be able to say, hey, guys, and it was always guys. I never have been a pastor who felt ever comfortable ministering. In fact, my wife has always said, no, John, you're a man's pastor. You're not a woman's pastor. And I said, well, that's okay with me. He's been out of a lot of trouble.
There you go.
But I think it's the key is the belief in the Word of God.
And yeah. Well, and I think that's true of every, it's not just who knows scripture better, but there's lots of times when I go to try to put something together or to fix something at the house, and Heidi might understand that better or catch on to it quicker. Or there's a lot of times with the computer, and I'm not an unintelligent person, but there's a lot of times when I don't understand why the computer is doing what it's doing. Right. And then I'll give it to Heidi and she'll fix it real quick. And I'll be frustrated because, why can you figure that out and I can't figure that out? And so I think it's just a general marriage, man, woman thing where it's like, amen. It's like we have to kind of settle ourselves down because they can know, it's okay for them to know more things than I know.
Exactly.
But, exactly. So yeah, I just really, I feel like that was, it's a great thing that we have kind of latched onto is this kind of nugget in disciple making that first and foremost, you have to be humble enough to allow others to disciple you so that you can find that person. You can grow enough to then be able to find that person to disciple, to make into a disciple.
Exactly.
I love that Psalm that you brought up, because at the end, there's a phrase in that psalm that I think we skip over so much when it says, he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bears fruit in its season, right? And that that's in right. its season part, we skip over so much. And that's I think right. that Christians and followers of Christ look at that phrase and they say, I'm a tree that's always bearing fruit. But we bear fruit in a season, and there's always seasons for fruit bearing trees. Yeah, and there's right. times in life where you get pruned and times in life when you're not, but it's all for the fruit growing season. So the pruning part of life that doesn't feel good for the tree, I'm sure, is important for the next fruit growing season to bear more fruit.
Absolutely.
Right. That's why we prune a tree so that it can bear more fruit next season.
Exactly.
And there's a dormant stage where it's storing all of its energy so that next season it can grow and bear more fruit. And I think that us as followers of Christ, we think that things aren't going to go, things just need to always go smoothly. And if it's not going smoothly, God must not be looking out for us. Or if there's hard times for us as followers of Jesus Christ, then it's not working out right. When maybe he's just preparing us for the next fruit bearing season, and we just need to be patient and delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on its day and night so that we can be that tree. And I think that's one of the hardest things is to stay faithful and stay, as much of a learner and in that hard pruning, those seasons where we're not bearing fruit.
Exactly. And you know, the Proverbs and the Psalms are full of that. I mean, when you think better is the day of mourning than the day of rejoicing. Better is one's day of death than one's day of one's birth. So he talks about the difficult times. I mean, David was the man he was because of those difficult times. I mean, so I think it's absolutely essential that we have the difficult times. People who have a great time all the time, I worry about what's going to happen when something trips them up.
Sure. Well, and it's James 1. Count it joy when you face trials of various kinds, for the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, so you may be complete, right? And if we want to be complete as a follower of Jesus Christ, we have to go through those trials, and we have to be joyful that those trials are coming, because we know God is at work to do good things through us. In your life, you've probably had lots of trials, I'm assuming.
When I became a Christian and a pastor, I had probably every stronghold a person could do. Mm. In fact, that was my first 10 or 12 years of ministry, was basically fighting the strongholds that I had in my own life by finding in Scripture. And what God was doing in me to change me is what I'd share on Sunday morning. And that's just the truth. I mean, maybe it wasn't the right thing to do, but to me it was. And so it's knowing myself. It was breaking those strongholds, allowing the Word of God to break my strongholds. And that was the heart of everything. And there was a ton of difficult times. Mm. I mean, I remember I had so much, I had to learn how to deal with guilt, how to forgive myself. Mm. You know, I happened to be the one who gave my younger brother, who died at 49 years old, homeless on the street, gave him his first joint. He ended up becoming addicted. He ended up being homeless. He ended up dying out, been in and out of jail, alcoholism. And the enemy, see, you did that. You did that. Wow. How do I give up that guilt? Wow. How do I get rid of that guilt?
Yeah.
How do I fix the brokenness? Because the first 5 years of our marriage was terrible. In fact, our marriage almost ended, was almost broken, until God finally says, John, something's got to change now, or you're going to lose it all. So I had all these strongholds. I mean, I was prideful. I was arrogant. I was angry. I was everything that you could think of in there. And yet this unshakable knowing that God called me in his ministry, and I never wanted to be a pastor. I never did. I never wanted to be. I didn't even know what a pastor was. I was a funeral director. Mm. And in Walmart, I was going to build a funeral home in Pine Island, Florida, on the Gulf of Mexico, because I had fully trained, was licensed, and that's what I was going to do. And out of nowhere, it was like, this is what I want you to do. I had to drop everything. And it was crazy.
Mm.
And so, but I look back on that and realize that all of those things and all the struggles that I went through, God was using that to use for disciple making, because now my childhood was a rarity back then when I went through. Today,
it's everything. Yeah.
The normal childhood, the Christian childhood, the Christian family is the rarity.
Mm-hmm.
And the messed up dysfunctional one is the norm.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, God had a reason for doing all of that. Right. And I'm convinced if I wasn't called to be a pastor, I wouldn't have a wife. Even though she fought it like, you can't be a pastor. So it was struggles. Yes, many struggles.
So when you're in those times, in the first 5 years, in the first 10 years of ministry, what did you gather people that you trusted around you? Did you just dive right into the Word? Like, what were the things, the practical things that you did that helped you stay focused on that calling, or stay, you know, does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, what were some practical things that you did back then that would help you stay true to what you knew God had called you to, or stay moving forward?
Really? I look back on that and I go, all right, I read Proverbs. I read Proverbs. I let my wife speak into my life. I let professors speak into my life. The scripture that came back to me over and over again, because I even questioned my salvation for a time. But when the Lord says, John, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, John, I said that. You have to take that home. You have to take that. No matter what you do, I'm not going to let you loose. Mm-hmm. And so that was my bedrock. And then my bedrock was memorizing key scriptures. I didn't know how to pray.
Mm.
The Lord's Prayer. I mean, here's the disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. A direct answer to a direct question from the lips of the Lord.
Yeah.
And so I began to say, what's in here? And I realized, we're doing exactly what Jesus says don't do. We say the Lord's Prayer. You know, everybody can say it together. That's not what it's about. So it was really that. It was the ability to have a few close friends in the church, older men. Remember, I always picked out a man that I could trust. And I felt like, honestly, he was more capable of being a pastor than I am. He knows more about God's word. He has more life experience as a Christian and all of that. So it was really reaching out, being transparent.
Yeah.
If there's anything that marks my ministry, according to what everybody says, John, you're the most transparent person I know of, is leadership. That was me. And so I knew that either God was going to use me or I was going to be just live a useless life without showing the salt and the light that God had put into me. I don't know if that answers your question or not.
I just think it's fascinating, and it's a cool testament to like the church culture that you first started in. Started in ministry, because it seems like from your story that you've said, it was almost like a flip of a switch from like I'm funeral director to pastor. Right. Like the saved, and I'm going to be in ministry. I went to college and I'm a pastor now.
Exactly.
And so there was a church. The fascinating part for me is there was a church culture that brought you in and said, okay, here's this guy that's transparent, that wants to lead, that wants to, is called to be a pastor. And we're going to almost help him be a pastor, right? There was some guys in the church that the church kind of like held you up, where some churches might have kicked you to the curb for being that transparent, open. Listen, I'm following a calling that God has for me. I know I don't know everything. I'm going to be learning things, and let's walk together as we learn this.
Exactly.
That church culture, helped get you to this place where you've been in ministry for 45 years and can share the wisdom with other men now and see what God was preparing all those good things for you now, right? Like in men's ministry and in the disciple making and the kids, like you had talked about, where now you're a person that understands what they're going through. You understand brokenness. You understand a broken childhood. You understand that, but you are on the other side of it saying, if you trust God, he will work through these things. And you can be on the other side of it. And I think that's fascinating as far as a disciple making story that the church was instrumental in helping you become a disciple while you were their pastor.
Exactly. And you've nailed it. You nailed it right there, Tim. God blessed me with unique situations. When I was going to seminary again, if it wasn't the specific church I was in, I don't know what happened, because my wife, when I was called in ministry, she said, honey, we got a problem. I've been called to be a housewife and a mother. I'm not called to work. And so I said, okay, well then God will work it out. And so he did. I went to Kansas City in January rather than June with everybody else, studied hard and got done and went down there early, because Midwestern is in Kansas City, Missouri. It's like, it's a pastor's seminary because there's so many small little towns. So I got out there early and God allowed me to go to a church that my wife didn't have to work. I was a full-time student and pastoring a church that paid my salary. And so I was blessed with that. And I was as faithful as I could be to the word. And Proverbs, again, I know I sound like a broken record on that, but it just helped me with so many things. Church problems. I mean, it just following Christ, yes, but also realizing, hey, try this right now. You know, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be just like him. I say, God, show me. Am I talking to a fool? Not that personal. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Then I know that there's no way to deal with this. You know, teach someone and they will love you for it. Rebuke someone or listen to a rebuke. The rebuke of a friend is what? It's good.
Yeah, that's right.
So those simple things, absolutely. God used to create who my wife and I have become is.
So you've been going through Proverbs. My dad does the same thing, right? My dad has the same Proverbs a day.
A day?
Yeah. Yeah. He like we've done that for a while. So you've been doing that since 1979 off and on,
yes.
Like as, yeah,
yes.
For 45 years.
Yesterday was what? February the 21st. So
yeah.
21st proverb, Proverbs 21 verse 2 says, all persons are right in their own mind, but the Lord weighs the heart. So I meditate. What does that mean? Okay. Think about it, John. All persons, you know, are right in their own mind, but the Lord weighs the heart. Okay, so how do you make sure your thoughts are right? You got to get your heart right. If your heart is right, then your thoughts will be right. So, okay, that's good. So that means, so those kind of things, all right? Now, Lord, before I go into this decision, where's my heart on this? Get my heart right. Help me to make the right decision on that. So, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, that's, I don't know if you've done the math, but 12 times 45 years is 12 months and 40. So that's 540 times that you've gone through Proverbs 21.
There's yes, that's right. Now, believe me, there's times and then months where I haven't, but as a general rule, absolutely.
So I guess the point is sticking with being disciplined enough to stick with something through and through
right.
will allow you to go through those storms and just still have that foundation in the word that you were building your life on, building exactly. your ministry on, building your family on. Even though that's not what you knew, you had that calling from God. You're building on that new foundation, the new creation in Christ that you were, and creating that. And
exactly.
I think it's just fascinating and such a great reminder for the folks that are listening to our podcast that at the first thing to being a disciple maker is to be a willing disciple. Right. Being a humble learner, being someone that can be discipled. That's the first, I guess, biggest practical step of being a disciple maker is first right. being willing to look at other people and say, I don't know everything and I'm right. going to transparently walk through life with you.
Right.
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 And if you're okay with it, I'm going to be as transparent as I can with what God's teaching me. And, right. and just each day, let's just walk through life together and, right. and. By the end of it, maybe God will do something with it, right? Yes. Like God will allow us to me to grow in my relationship with Christ and for you to grow in yours. And it's just a great example of Paul when he says, follow me as I follow Christ, right?
Exactly.
I'm going to go follow him. I'm headed this way. Follow me as well.
Absolutely.
To stick with it, to surround yourself with people and surround yourself with the word. And then see what God is got planned for you later in your life. See how it all comes full circle where you're able to speak into the life of some of these young adults who went through now 40 years later, 50 years later, the same kind of things yeah. that you went through as a child. And yes. you can speak right into that and say, I know I was right there.
And there's so much hunger out there. There's an unfelt need out there. They have a need, but they don't feel it. They don't realize it's there. But when you start touching that, they realize there is a need. And if we're just open to that, I mean, everywhere I go, there is such a need for someone to say, take the time, show me something that is true, something, show me something that I can depend on. And we all have our testimonies as we're growing disciples. Mm. You have such a wonderful testimony. I listened to your mom and dad. I mean, that was so cool to grow up in a family like that. Well, my son is a little bit because he grew up. I mean, that's his life. The whole life was church. But so we all have something to offer. And there's so many people out there who are just And even the scripture teaches you how to begin that discipleship process, mm-hmm. you know, just mm-hmm. even how to begin it.
That's right.
And if it works, fine. If it gives you the discernment, if this is not going to work, you know, then you mm-hmm. back off. It's mm-hmm. the Bible says, you know, don't cast your pearls before swine, mm-hmm. lest they trample you. And he's not saying calling people pigs. He's just simply saying is you're wasting your time and the Holy Spirit will teach you mm-hmm. where that is. But there's so many more out there just. You know, just a little something.
That's right. Just need a person to walk through life with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go through the same line at Walmart. Go through the same line at Walmart. Wait for that person and say hello to them. And after a while, it's going to be like, you know, hey, how you doing? I'm doing great. Sandy, what's going on with you?
That's right. Absolutely.
So it's a wonderful time. And it makes my life now, every time I go out, it's like, okay, Lord, what's just a little step.
Yeah. You
know, just a little step. Mm-hmm.
Well, we are praying that our conversation with Papa John was as much of a blessing to you as it was for us to record. I'm confident that through his stories of how God showed up in his life, you've been able to pull out several practical things that you can do to help in your journey to make disciples. We're excited to continue on as Justin and I come back next week and discuss more ways that you can go into the world and make disciples. And as we wrap up today, if you haven't already, would you take just a moment to follow this podcast on whatever platform you're listening to? And please leave a comment and review this podcast so that it can reach its full potential. Thank you so much once again for joining us. And until we're together again, keep following after Jesus. And remember that a life of disciple making is right this way.